Welcome to the newest episode of the R-Beats Original Podcast, where we dive into hashtag local music somewhere and current topics interesting to any kind of creative mind listening.
Artificial intelligence will replace a lot of jobs. But what about high-level professionals that need to use subjectivity and reasoning? Susan Schaefer is our guest today. She's a licensed mental health counselor. I'm going to ask her about AI replacing her job. But before I begin, I'm going to ask her about the Supreme Court justices. Can AI replace them?
I think if we didn't have people that were didn't feel passionate about it, then there may be some things that go unseen where what's important to other people, for them to feel safe, to feel heard, to feel like they are their rights are protected, or what they believe is a part of society or not. I don't know if I'm really explaining that right, but if people didn't feel for it, then who would be making the laws for who? Who is going? Are the people making the laws, are they really going to represent those all of the people where the laws are for?
But that was just a warm up. My real question, of course, is could AI replace her job? Can it actually be a psychologist in itself? In fact, I came up with all these questions I'd planned to ask Susan. And then I was going to ask the same questions to chatbot and see how similar the answers were. A simple idea, and like many simple ideas, they led me to a simple and wrong solution.
I think AI is very useful for many reasons. I think when we need information on something, that it can actually help individuals who need something right away. So let's say if they notice that they're having symptoms or they want some kind of clarity in the moment, and that clarity is going to help to maybe even ease on some of their anxiety or stress, to get that kind of information, I think AI could be very helpful. Also, AI is going to have a huge database of knowledge to be able to pour right back to the person. Where I think AI is not going to replace psychology or therapy, mental health therapy in particular, is the relationship. What makes therapy so special and so important is the relationship between the therapist and client. And it takes time to build that rapport. It takes time to really be with the clients and to understand what direction they want to move in, or how they want to move towards their goals. And there's so much within a therapy session that is just more than spitting back information. It's that I don't think AI would be able to really replace.
From the R-Beats Radio Network, I'm John Casson. Today's show, AI versus human-to-human relationships. I began by asking Susan about how to deal with global anxiety. On the day of our interview, Russia was undergoing an attempted coup and possibly possession of nuclear weapons. Similar issues would be global warming or political instability. Here's what Susan said.
The fears that people experience like that are very real and valid. And when we are experiencing a type of fear that's beyond our control, it can also lead to feeling very powerless and helpless. So when I'm working with clients that are experiencing these types of fears, first and foremost, I think that helping people to feel a little more grounded and to kind of get back into the present moment. So a lot of times when we are fearful of something, our anxiety might like to kick in and pull us into a future and start what-ifing. And here comes a spiral of a lot of intense energy. So first I always think is let's kind of explore what's going on within the mind and body. And how intense is this? Where do you feel it in the body? And then it's maybe a combination of skills, whether it's breathing techniques or tapping or other cognitive behavior therapies like thought therapies to help bring the client back into a more relaxed state. So then once we get kind of within the body and mind a little more relaxed and settled, then as a way to address the very valid fear or concern is maybe narrowing it down into more specifics or even more local. So for example, if we're talking about a fear of global warming and climate change that people can feel very powerless about, but is it possible that they can gain their power by putting their efforts into something locally, helping with an organization, reducing the use of plastics, something along those lines that is realistic for them to do every day or daily to feel like they are contributing to a part of changing the fear that they may be experiencing.
ChatGPT gave me facts and figures about improbabilities, but didn't really get into why I asked the question in the first place. What was my underlying fear? What was I trying to accomplish?
Typically when people come to therapy, they are seeking a change. Maybe the change that they're first trying to work with might be a little more surface, but then as we go a little deeper and the person develops a little more self-awareness and we get into more of the thoughts and the inner belief system, then maybe there's a little more acknowledgement of what maybe needs to change. So, you know, first thing is someone's got to want to make the change in order to change. And then to go back to your first question, I know a lot of positive minded individuals that struggle with fear because fear, everybody has fear. It's an emotion. It's, you know, and it's not wrong. It's a valid feeling. Sometimes it can bring up irrational thoughts or irrational fears if we dwell or kind of continue spiraling into something. But everyone experiences fear, I think, even as positive individuals.
So what should I do? Chatbot told me to focus on what I can change and start there. And that was kind of similar to what Susan is saying. But Susan had another recommendation, something known as tapping.
So tapping is technically called emotional freedom techniques, and it's self-applied acupressure on different meridian points around the face and upper body. And so tapping on these pressure points helps to alleviate the intensity of unpleasant emotions. It can also help to regulate the nervous system. It can help individuals who are experiencing maybe like feeling blocked or stuck in an emotion or even in a thought process.
ChatGPT recommended breathing exercises, which to me sounded similar in terms of how it makes people feel when they're anxious about something. Susan says it's a little bit different, though.
Breathing exercises. So the breath is, I like to tell clients, it's a direct tool to your nervous system. So, and you always have your breath. You are always hopefully taking breaths. And so by noticing your breath, trying different, slowing down the breath, there's numerous different breathing exercises, but bringing your awareness to it, helping to slow down your breathing can help to regulate, help a person feel a little more grounded, feel a little more at ease.
What I noticed immediately about what Susan says is how she says it, how she recommends it, all of it. It all involves this human connection.
So as we're tapping, we're also stating what the person's feeling, why they're feeling it, and following up with an affirmation, a believable affirmation. So for example, if someone was saying, I am experiencing a lot of fear right now because of something I heard on the news. So we might locate where the person's really feeling that energy of fear, that feeling of fear, and then begin to tap, even though I'm feeling this fear and I feel it in my head, because I saw something on the news today, right here, right now, I know I'm okay, or I still accept this is who I am. But having that believable statement, and then we begin the process of tapping. So it's actually a little combination of somatic, you know, therapy, touch therapy, as well as cognitive therapy.
Susan, our producer, Chelsea, and I began tapping and saying affirmations we probably wouldn't be saying aloud to a chatbot or an empty room. And I got to tell you, it felt pretty good.
So this is where we
acknowledge. Right here,
so yeah, like the meaty part of your hand. There you go. And this is where we acknowledge the feeling, where it is in the body. We say a little statement here. The next tapping point is at the very top.
I'm so sorry. What was it? What would be a good statement?
Well, let's see. Are you feeling it a certain way right now? Is there anything that you're noticing within your own body that is unpleasant or maybe a little more intense than you would like it to be?
Yes. Oh, I didn't tell you what it is. I'm probably like a little bit warm in here because it's a small room. There's a lot of people in the room. So if I tap, is this going to make it cooler for me? I don't know. That's good.
Well, is that warm feeling bringing any kind of emotion, any kind of unpleasant emotion for you?
Maybe just a mild phobia that I might start sweating. And if I do, I might have a little ring around here and then Chelsea will move away from me.
So he's getting a little anxious.
Yeah, maybe.
He's getting anxiety. A little
anxious. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you were to just kind of guess or rate that feeling of anxiety or anxiousness right now, 0 to 10, about what would it be?
Two.
Two.
Okay. That's low, but we can keep working with this. Do you notice that feeling anywhere in your body?
The anxiety or sweating?
No, the anxiety.
No, because I gave it too low of a score. But if I did, it would probably be right here, maybe a little bit
in your chest.
Yeah.
In the center of your chest. Okay, so a setup statement might sound something like, and you can repeat this if you want, because this is how we lead it in a session. The practitioner or therapist will guide the client. So even though I feel this anxiety.
Even though I feel this anxiety
in my chest, because right now I'm sitting in a warm room. And I'm afraid I'm going to get sweaty armpits.
Even though I feel this way.
And now see if this sits true for you, John. I still deeply and completely accept myself.
Yeah, I still completely and deeply accept myself. I'm kind of shallow.
That's great.
So look, Chatbot would never have given these specific physical recommendations. And I think I can articulate the major difference between AI and an actual mental health counselor. The human connection. It's not just easily replicable. Not yet, anyway.
We're going to go to the collarbone. We got two more pressure points right around the shoulder area, underneath the shoulders, this anxiety in my chest. Mm-hmm. And then last one, under the arm, right at the base of the armpit.
No, it's going to smell. The anxiety in my chest.
And that's when the breathing exercises come in.
I feel better.
Then you take a big snap.
Then you take a big inhale, John. Just breathe it in.
I like it. So
it kind of worked. It fell down to a 1.5. This is good.
Yeah. And so you do that a few times.
Tapping. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So we learned that Chatbot GPT can provide content, but mental health professionals can provide context, and that context comes from probing the person requesting the assistance in the first place. It's not easily done. Not yet, anyway. Not on AI platforms. On a closing note and a full confession, I attempted to write this podcast, the very words you're hearing right now, using an AI site. It was accurate. It was informative. But it was less entertaining, if that's even possible. And without that entertainment element, it makes it virtually unlistenable.
Thank you for your time and listening to Arbeats.com boutique streaming service, home of #localmusicsomewhere. Check back regularly for podcasts, artist interviews, and more.